right. Good morning, Joe.
Good morning, Isaiah. How are you this morning?
Good. You know, you're the first person I've seen this morning.
Holy smokes.
I know.
A lonely world here then, huh?
I guess so. It gets so dark and cold.
Uh-huh. I guess Julie's not here.
And Julie's not here. Aren't here. Yeah, it's just me, you know, you're going a little stir crazy.
but at least it's light out, you know? It's not like it's dark and dingy and and you're here alone.
Yes, yes. Plus,
this is
I have your beautiful face to look at when... I've been looking forward to it all morning.
Yeah, geez, you got problems if that's what you're looking forward to in the morning. I tell you what, you better, there's therapy for that kind of stuff.
I guess so. Uh-huh. So, folks, we are running Tradio, so it's our buy-sell-trade program, and you can call in at 907-772-3808, and we'll put you on the air if you have a PSA, if you have an event coming up, if you have roof siding that you want to find a home for. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
All right. Or we'll attempt to.
Yeah. Yes, we will attempt to. We don't guarantee anything.
Yeah, we'll see here. Mm-hmm. Without Julie here, we're falling apart.
Yeah, she is a load-bearing wall.
That was what you said this morning. Yeah, it was. No, Julie, our load-bearing wall. Sometimes you just can't rely on it all the time. You gotta shore it up yourself.
Everyone needs a break.
Yeah, exactly. Right. That's good for her.
Yeah. But, it's gonna get cold. I don't know if you saw the aurora.
I was gonna bring that up. I did. I got up. I was up in the middle of the night to looking, and it was just too.
So you had your finger on the pulse. You knew it was gonna happen.
Oh, I know. I saw it earlier in the day because it was supposed to be pretty. If you had clear skies, they says you were supposed to see it pretty much through. More so up north, of course, but we were going to be able to get a glimpse of it here, and I don't know if anybody saw it. Did you?
No, I didn't. No? Well, I was. You know, I biked into work at what like. 4 a.m. or something. I didn't. It was cloudy. I didn't see anything.
Yeah. Well, I was up at about 2, and I was looking around and see if I could see something. I looked out on the deck, and usually I can see it over Petersburg up in that direction. But
mm-hmm. No luck.
No, she was a little cloudy up there, and kind of almost foggyish too in the Muskeg there. But
all right. And I do think we have a caller on line 1. If we want to try doing that, can you hear us?
Hi, I can hear you. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
Score!
we're figuring out the phones and they work perfectly. All right, go ahead.
All right, so I am calling on behalf of the Sons of Norway. Mm-hmm. Our fall harvest potluck is coming up Sunday, November 16th at 5 p.m. It's open to all members and guests. The potluck is... forage, fish, or hunted theme. So if you have something that you have either in your freezer or you've been out fishing or something like that, come and show us what you can make. Mm-hmm. We'll also be having a turkey raffle tickets for sale and also Ski of Four Lights donations.
Right on.
All right, and that's this Sunday?
Sunday, November 16th.
Uh-huh. Okay, that's exciting. I love that kind of idea for a potluck. It's, you know, people care about food much more when you've caught it yourself or when you foraged it or something like that.
So it's pretty much fish and game that we got around the area then, correct, for the menu?
Yep. And then if you forage anything, like, I don't know, there's some people who do mushrooms, but my family, it's all berries. But
Yes. Well, there's probably still cranberries out there.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, you got to have some berries. You got to have some desserts with the potluck.
It's true. It wouldn't be the same without. Okay. Well, thanks very much for calling in.
That's 5 o'clock is dinner.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
Okay. Thanks.
Thank you.
Bye. All right. Well, against all odds, we
Well, it wasn't that difficult.
No, it really wasn't that difficult at all. I'm being dramatic.
No. Well, I know. With being here with Tom or whatever, during basketball or whatever, it's like, you say, no, I can't transfer from here to here. I don't know. It's always, I was something.
The future is now.
Oh, yeah. Maybe we were just living in the past. Maybe we just have to, you know, we know how to operate this new stuff.
Yeah, meanwhile, I don't know how to use a filing cabinet, but I could do this.
There you go. Filing cabinets have become a thing of the past.
Yeah, well, not quite.
They're not as prevalent as they were. You know, you'd see banks and banks of filing cabinets in offices and stuff like that. You still see filing cabinets, but not to the extent that they used to be.
Yeah, but you know, that being said, I spent a summer working for the Alaska Railroad, and they have, you know, on the top floor of their building, they have this whole bank of file cabinets, and it is specifically in this one spot because the building was designed so it would be reinforced of mm-hmm. all that weight of all that paper and all that kind of thing. Uh-huh. So, I mean, it was very alive and well, their file game.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and books. Yes. Remember when they, you know, when they built the municipal building, you know, the library was up in that corner there. And if you, when we went to the skeleton of that building, if you looked at the flooring, all the floor joists were doubled up in that area.
Did that on purpose.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Wow. Yeah. So it's definitely, they designed something for books and filing cabinets like and such that it doesn't compromise the structure.
Was that in the old building or was that
in
the new?
The old building up there, yeah. Mm-hmm. It was up in the upper front corner there facing Haugen Drive. That was where the library was. Up there now is the public or the finance offices and the manager's office. That was the library. Right.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Oh, very cool.
Yeah, but it's you always see that the bar joists underneath were 1 foot on center as opposed to when you got to the rest of the building, they were 2 foot on center. So.
Mm-hmm. And you are Mr. Building Code Guy.
Oh, well, not when that was built. That was in 50-something, 53, 56, 55, somewhere in early 50s.
Right.
That's when the building was built. Yeah, but well, I was down there when we were remodeling, so I got, you know, and I spent a lot of time in that building when I was working maintenance and then building side, so.
Yeah, you've seen the inside guts of a lot.
A lot of the buildings, yeah. Uh-huh. Manor, all of the city buildings, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, as, you know, someone with that history, do you have, like, advice or something that I should know or something that you people just didn't know and maybe should know? I don't know. About building something or about like
one have home. Plans
have plans
have a professional build it
unless
you want to build it yourself,
right?
What were you saying?
As in like have an architect or have an engineer or someone.
It depends on what you're building, you know. If you have somebody that knows what they're doing, you don't necessarily need an engineer and architect to design a house. Mm-hmm. Unless it gets a little bit, you know, if it's out of the ordinary, you know, the cracker box, if it gets to be a lot of hips and angles and that, then you should have an engineer look at it.
Yeah.
A lot of times these with engineered trusses these days, a lot of people will, you know, they rely on the company that's they have engineers on staff that will design those trusses to exactly what your snow loads are, what you got to have for this area.
Mm-hmm.
So they're taking the guesswork out of it by getting the trusses there. But if you go into another design, you know, out of the norm.
Oh, I see.
And then to have somebody build it that knows what they're doing too.
That's kind of important.
Very important. Mm-hmm. That's where some people get in trouble, you know, having somebody with less knowledge building the house.
And I'd be like, yeah, that size nail is fine.
Sure.
Meanwhile,
sure.
It certainly was not fine.
No. So, but the eyes of Mordor are upon them when they start doing stuff like that.
You think so?
Oh, I know so.
Oh. Yeah. Well, you know, contrary to what people might think, this is Tradio, not our home improvement show.
Yeah.
Which we could do.
Well, we could, you know. There's always room for some more innovation in this radio business.
Yeah.
You know, the old guy, you know, he was kind of stuck in the mud, you know. But we've got new blood around here. It's time to improvise and innovative.
And, you know, actually, that's a good point. If people in the community have sort of thoughts on what programs we're airing, like, we do have a community advisory board, and you can bring that up. If you're like, hey, I really love sports, and you guys don't have a sports program, then we could think about that. And we used to.
Once in a while, we had a sports. I think when Joe Vicnicki was here, he did a sports show. You know, because he was big on sports, so we kind of had a little segment there for a while that there was sports announced and stuff. We're going to try again.
How you doing? All right.
That worked?
Yes, it did. Well, so back to sports, but we're going to do the caller.
Yeah.
I just called it, and we'll come back on it.
We'll pick it up again.
Yeah. Okay, caller on line one, you're on the air. Can you hear us?
Hi, this is Heidi.
Hi,
Heidi.
How are you? Well, I have a message, Joe, that you might need to write a long thing about.
Uh-oh.
Get ready.
I'm working on it.
Okay.
Loosening up my finger.
I'm talking about the Claussen Museum.
Mm-hmm.
I'll say it really slow.
That's my style.
Heidi, is there any chance you have a radio on in the background?
Yes, I'll turn it off.
Yes, thank you.
Okay.
Okay, now go ahead.
It's very foggy, and sometimes you guys kind of cut in and out.
Oh,
with the fog? I didn't know that.
Yeah. There's a special exhibit for November.
Mm-hmm.
It's Alaska Native Heritage Month, and they will have cultural objects.
Okay.
And photograph albums. Now I'm just going to talk.
Okay.
Back during World War II, everybody had to have a photograph and a card that lived here in Petersburg to make sure there was no enemies coming into town. And so this one lady, Mary Allen, took all these pictures of everybody in town down at the hotel. Everybody went into this room and got their picture taken. And so it's, you know, pretty special snapshot of everybody that lived here during a certain time. But now all these photograph albums are there. And this is featuring mainly the Native American community. And they're still trying to photograph or trying to figure out who some of these people are in some of these albums. But there's also albums that they have identified that are really some beautiful pictures of our ancestors from town that look really good at a younger age. I mean, didn't sound bad.
Okay. That's enough. When we all look good at a younger age.
Well, a lot of them aren't alive anymore. And mm-hmm. But to see them as, you know, 20-year-olds and a lot of names from town. But I'm welcoming you to the exhibit because it's free this month for anybody that wants to come up and look.
Oh, that's a good one. It's all of November?
Yes.
And can you give us the museum hours?
Do you know? It's 1 to 5. I think it's Tuesday through Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And it'd be great to have some people come up.
And then no admission for November.
No admission. And the people that work there, my cousin,
mm-hmm.
She's been working hard at building this collection up, and there's all kinds of different artifacts there and information. It'd be great to have more people come by and see it.
Sure.
Wow, that sounds great, yeah. Heidi. Thanks for letting us know.
Yeah.
So this catalog and everybody and taking pictures, is that kind of like, you know, invasion of privacy?
Well, back then, that they thought that there were there could be enemies coming into our town, and so back then that's what they had everybody do. The government had to have a card when you went down to the harbor.
What?
You had to show your card.
Wow.
Yeah. Wow.
And so you had to have this ID, and but it's a pretty unique snapshot of who all lived here at that time. And I don't know if other towns did it, you know, I don't know if that, but for some reason we had to do that. And this woman, Mary Allen, took all the pictures, but she didn't really write any names on them.
They were,
And then also, all these negatives were just stuck in an old hotel room that could have been lost, but somebody found them and brought them to the museum, and then they had them all printed up.
Wow, that is special. And it's such an interesting snapshot of history.
Yeah, that's interesting that everybody was, you know.
And you can see the faces of some of the people that live here now and their ancestors.
Mm-hmm. Oh, really, that is so cool.
Yeah?
Yeah. Pretty, a lot of handsome, good-looking people, too.
Oh, Petersburg's full of those, Heidi. Everywhere you look, there's handsome and good-looking people.
Yeah, we're known.
Yeah, like right here at the station.
Yeah, well, you got to come up the station, too, once in a while to see the handsome, good
looking
people.
We've got those faces for radio.
Yeah,
you know what
faces,
they say.
Only a radio could love.
Well, I'm glad you guys are so good looking, and I hope you have a good day.
Thanks, okay. Thanks, Heidi. Good luck.
Thanks. Bye.
All right. You know, Heidi said that during the fog, sometimes the radio comes in weird. You know, I wonder if that has anything to do with the solar storm. Because during solar storms, and sometimes they get intense, sometimes like radio and other communications equipment, it gets interfered with. So I'm just a spectating musing. Perhaps I shouldn't be musing about the technology behind it all. When really I don't know that much. But
well, I'm not gonna second guess, but I don't know whether fog really has that impact. Yeah. You know, in radio waves and stuff like that. I know the sun stuff does, mm-hmm. And that definitely interruption when we had like cable TV and that kind of stuff with the sunspots and that stuff. But fog, if you had, I know when we had heavy fog and stuff like that and rain sometimes when I had a satellite dish in the yard, it really affected that.
Oh, really?
Well, yeah, because it just was some of the rains we got and the heavy fog over there, it would just, kind of pixelate sometimes on the TV. Mm-hmm. So. Mm-hmm. But not, I don't know about radio waves.
Yeah, I think there's some environmental hazards here. I was hearing a story about how we were getting some satellite feed. It might have been from Alaska Public Media or from National Public Radio or something. And our satellite kept dropping out. And we were like, wow, we can't tell what that is. And then they went and they looked outside and there was a raven with like dropping a bit of fish into like the satellite receiver. And that was messing with the signal.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, snow will do it too.
Snow will do it too. Big time. I bet.
Yeah. Which I heard somewhere along the line, I don't know if you've been there either, but that we're due to have some spattering of snow coming this
weekend.
Yeah.
Kind of Friday and Saturday and also Sunday night on the forecast says rain and snow likely. Uh-huh. And then also beginning of next week on Monday, rain and snow likely. But something tells me it's kind of, if it's rain and snow, it's going to be kind of sleet, slush.
Yeah, that just that drop into that low 30s, so it's just right at that. You know, the higher elevations will probably have some snow, but down here on the sea level, we might not have so much.
And I was thinking about it. I was like, biking home, and it was kind of raining. I was like, I might be cold, but at least I'm feeling something. It's like, wow. I mean, you're just in the weather. I kind of liked it.
You did.
Mm-hmm. And it's always the cup is half full.
You belong here then if you enjoy that stuff.
Well. I think the alternative is not so preferable. I mean, what? Am I going to not enjoy it? I might as well.
Yeah, I guess. Mm-hmm. Well, some people like rain. Obviously, it's they must. True. A lot of people that stay here a long time, they must like it.
They must. Yeah. They must.
Hey, there is other, worse things we could have.
That's very true. And hurricanes. I think, I've been trying not to complain about many things in my life because things are great.
I what an attitude. I like that attitude. That's the way the attitude everybody should have. Everybody would be a lot happier if they had that attitude. Yeah. Life's good.
Life is good. So contrary to what you might be hearing, we're not running a philosophy
show.
We are running Tradio. although we could do that. Back to that.
Yeah.
And so maybe we can do like a slow rundown. But in the meantime, people can still catch us. If you have things to buy, sell, or trade, you can call in. At 907-772-3808, and we'll put you on the air. I noticed you have a couple PSAs there. If you wanted to like read a couple of them.
Let's do these two.
Let's do the important ones. Yeah.
Let's do the two rundowns. So we only had two calls so far. Let's do that. We'll do a few PSAs. If nobody calls by then, you're out of luck, folks.
And you'll have to call back on Friday.
Yeah. And then you won't have me to jibber-jabber around there.
I know.
Isaiah.
It's not even worth it. No, I'm teasing. Chris Weiss and I do a good job, too.
I enjoy Chris on the show, too. So, anyhow, let's go what we had here. The caller called introducing the Sons of Norway Harvest Potluck this coming Sunday is the 16th, correct?
Sunday is
the 16th at 5 p.m. And the menu is on the potluck. Any fish or hunted items that you have and dishes that you can conjure up with venison, moose, whatever wild animals, rabbits. I don't know if we have rabbits. We don't have
many. I have not seen
tame
a rabbit
rabbits.
Here. I don't know if that counts as wild game.
Wild rabbits, yeah. No, anything you have.
Cranberries.
Cranberries, fruit, fish, anything of the nature there. And I imagine they'll... maybe, and then obviously hunted and fish stuff, I'm sure, garden stuff too, because there's got to be salads and that stuff. So
yeah, I don't know if it's so late, but I'm sure people have greenhouses.
There's people with greenhouses, but they got lettuce in the store too. But there's got to be salads. You got to have a salad there too.
I guess so. So that is this Sunday. That's on the 16th.
I'll show you later. But anyhow, yes, that's the 16th, Sunday at 5 p.m. Sounds like a good time, and they're hoping to get a good turnout to see what's, you know, kind of celebration, the beginning of, you know, the end of the hunting season and the beginning of, like, maybe winter.
Wow, is that what we're calling it?
No, just harvest.
Yes.
Yeah, the fall. the end of the fall harvest. So
there you go.
And then Heidi called, introducing the exhibit at the Klassen Museum. It's a special exhibit for Alaska Native Heritage Month. And it's cultural objects. They're going to have, they have photos, all these photos of all the people of Petersburg back in the day that were cataloged when they, probably during wartime there, that we wanted to categorize the people. People do, nowadays would hate that. But anyow, it's really neat, and she'd hoping we'd get a good turnout to show up there. It's actually free this month. There's no admission charge. And go up there and see the cool stuff, all the heritage and the people of Petersburg and Alaska Natives. The photos, she said, are exceptionally cool.
So. And some very handsome.
Very handsome and beautiful people of Petersburg. So would be neat to go up there. So 1 to 5, Tuesday through Saturday, go check it out. And there's no expense. So it'd be...
Because this month is Alaska Native Heritage Month.
The whole month. So there'll probably be other things happening, I'm sure.
Yeah, you know, and KFSK will have some special programming going on starting next week and the week after, too.
So it's always good to know that stuff. So, yeah. Mm-hmm. And while we're on that, 13th today?
Oh, yes, today's the 12th, tomorrow's the 13th.
Well, the Petersburg Indian Association invites the community to an evening of inspiration from tribal leaders and community members in the Petersburg High School gym on November 13th, which is tomorrow at 5 p.m. All community are welcome, and there will also be a raffle for a gift card. So that's another, this goes along with the Alaska Native Heritage Month, that they're probably going to be doing stuff to do that. I'll do another one. Oh, this is a good one. It's coming up next weekend. It's the Mitkoff Mummer Theater will be performing a double fairy tale feature, The Worst Fairy Tale Ever and a Mixed Up Fairy Tale. Performance nights are Friday, November 21st, and Saturday, November 22nd. Show starts at 7, and tickets are sold at the door. The Mummers will also be accepting cash donations at the door on behalf of the Salvation Army and Humanity in Progress. Speaking of plays, did you go to the high school play? Dracula?
You know, embarrassingly, I fell asleep on my couch at like 6:30, and I really wanted to go, but I had done Morning Edition, and I was too tired. But I heard fantastic things about it.
I've heard nothing but
like,
great.
Like, glowing reviews, and I really would have loved to see it.
Yeah, everybody that I've talked to said, I think it was somebody called in, I think it was last... It was last week that it was happening.
I think maybe last Friday someone called in.
Yeah, something was Friday. Said. I heard him, how good it was. But I just was wondering if you'd seen it, because I'll hit this one. These guys are great, especially the same group, and you kind of know who some of them are, and they're you see them on the street, and you see them everywhere, but you see them on the stage, and they're just...
A whole new person.
Yeah, they can create themselves, and it's...
some real stars cool. there.
Yeah,
All right.
Here's a good one. If anybody's getting interested in the Thanksgiving coming up, the Mountain View Manor Food Service is offering a Thanksgiving dinner on Friday, November 21st. However, you have to let them know by Wednesday, the 19th.
That's a week from today.
Yeah. So if you plan on going to the Mountain View Manor Thanksgiving dinner, you got to let them know by next Wednesday at noon so they can prepare for the dinner on Friday. And if you want to call and request that dinner, call 907-772-4331.
Yeah.
Well, I guess I'm going to scribble up. But yeah, that's cool.
Huh. Mm-hmm.
So, November 10th.
November 10th was Monday.
What happened on Monday?
Oh, is this a trick question?
No. Oh. See, you should have been on, this could have been on Tradio. Youpers would have got it.
I'm going to need a hint, Joe.
Gordon Lightfoot.
Oh, the Edmund Fitzgerald.
Yes.
Yes. Oh, are you talking about the Valkyrie?
No, I'm talking about the wreck of the Edmund Fitzgerald.
You know, I actually just listened to that song for like one of the first times.
Really?
Yeah. Because I guess I had heard about it.
Uh-huh.
Why do you bring it up? Is this something?
Well, I was just saying as being that part of my heritage. not a native heritage, born and raised on Lake Superior.
Oh.
I remember that night. I was living there then.
No way.
Way.
Really?
Yeah.
It
was a hellacious storm. Uh-huh. I mean, even right in Marquette, which is on the south shore of Lake Superior, we went out to the island that night. And
so you were out in that storm.
Well, I was outside. I wasn't in the water.
Well,
we go on the island where the break walls are and the waves crashing up over the lighthouse on the break walls and such.
Whoa.
But it was quite a storm, yeah. But that was, yeah. And then, of course, we heard the next day on the news, well, guess what, last night, yeah. So it's quite a, I was kind of infatuated with that a little bit this past, because there was a lot of specials on and stuff, and I streamed some specials that the local station had in the UP there on the history of it and stuff like that. It was a pretty interesting documentary about, you know, and then have the families, you know, first off, they didn't want anybody to dive on the boat, and because they thought it was like sacred, because 29 guys were down there and they never saw it.
Oh, right, and so kind of respect the
but then they convinced them finally to to be able to go down there but not pull anything out of it.
Okay, well, that's what I was going to ask. If no, they had,
nothing.
You know,
the only thing they said, if there's one thing you wanted to get off of that ship.
Steel?
No, they wanted the ship's bell.
The ship's bell.
It's the only thing they salvaged off that boat.
Really?
The ship's bell.
Wow.
Which was a, you know, bronze bell or brass, whatever it was. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And they salvaged that up, and now it's sitting in a museum in the Upper Peninsula. Yeah.
Cool. And well, that was like 50 years ago.
50 years ago.
Exactly.
Was the date on Monday, was the history.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow, that is so cool. I didn't know you had a connection to that.
Oh, well, there was a lot of storms there in that time, but that one was pretty hellacious.
You know?
And they'd call it a hurricane if nowhere else. If they're in Florida, it'd be a hurricane, but, you know, winds going. But yeah, I just wondered if you had seen that.
Uh-huh.
It was all over. But, and then the song, he wrote that a couple years later.
It's a beautiful song.
It is. It's kind of, what they do is, you know, he went back to the museum and met with some of the families of the people.
Oh, so did some research on it.
Yeah. Well, mm-hmm. It was on this documentary. So it's, so he went back and some of the families said it was so neat to meet him, you know, at first. And he was so congenial. And he just passed away, too.
Mm-hmm.
See, Tom would know this one.
Tom would certainly know
this one.
He knows
when all the musicians pass away.
I guess so. It makes you wonder.
No. It isn't. Well, I think it's the fact that he was in the, came through the mortuary ranks. You know, his parents were morticians, and so he was in the mortuary.
You know, I didn't know that. You never told that to me.
Really? Mm-mm. That's why I think, I always tell him, because that's what, no wonder you always keep track of all the musicians when they pass away, you know. you were in the mortician business.
Well, yeah, but after so long at KFSK, I would hope not.
Tom called the mortician calling. He's probably telling us to shut up.
We'll see if that person comes on.
Uh-huh. But anyhow, that's just my history.
Yeah, well, yeah. That was a cool story. Thank you for sharing.
Yeah.
And I kind of always enjoy these sessions with you, Joe.
Yeah.
You know, we have another caller on line one, and that's because we are here so long,
rambling.
We will put him on.
Last call.
Can you hear us?
Yeah, I can hear you. This is Sue Erickson.
Oh, there's another Michigander.
That's exactly right. So Joe's up there in the UP on the shores of Lake Erie that night, 50 years ago.
Wow.
I'm down in Detroit, but, you know, we hear about it in the news the next day. But it was 4 months later that I was fortunate enough to go to the Blessing of the Fleet, which is referenced in that Gordon Lightfoot song,
mm-hmm.
And heard the church bell rhyme 29 times for each man on the Edmonds Fitzgerald. So anyway, that was a fabulous moment in time for anybody that grew up in the Great Lakes, and there's so many shipwrecks in that area.
Yeah.
But the interesting thing is, which I have just learned, was that the reference to Mariner's Church in Detroit, where the church bell chimed, Gordon Lightfoot put in a musty old hall in Detroit. They prayed at the Maritime Sailors Cathedral. Well, apparently those Episcopal rector, was that what they're called, the pastors or whatever?
Whatever.
Got really ticked off because they were referring to their beautiful church as this musty old hall in Detroit,
uh-huh.
Which it isn't. It's a beautiful cathedral. It's uh-huh. a lovely building, whatnot.
I saw pictures of it, yeah.
The brass bell is, as Joe said, the only thing that they took off the hull when they found it X number of years ago. That's in the Great Lakes Maritime Museum up there in Paradise, Michigan. And if you ever get the chance to go to the UP, Joe's native land, go to Whitefish Point and go through that museum. It's just absolutely fabulous.
Yes, yes. Yeah, that's quite a place. Yeah. So you've been, I know you've been to Marquette and you've been out to Presque Isle Island, haven't you?
Oh, yeah, I have.
Yeah, see, that's where we went that night. When the storms happened, you'd always go out there and, you know, we'd stay up in inland. We wouldn't go down by the breakwall because... And Everly, a northern Michigan student, always used to get washed off the breakwall because they thought they could go out there during a storm. But they were crazy kids, you know. They'd go, oh, let's go out on the breakwall, blah, 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 during a storm and watch the waves crash. Well, they end up in the drink. But, yeah, we went out the island that night because it was an exceptionally strong storm, and it was quite a thing to watch the
You
waves.
Were one of those kids.
Well, I didn't go down on the breakwall. We'd watch from up on the island on the shore and watch the waves hit the breakwall, and they'd go up there. They'd actually crash higher than the lighthouse itself. So, it was quite a storm.
It's bad. And what people don't know, I mean, of course, you know that you can see the Great Lakes from space, you know, from the moon. You can still see them. They're huge. And those waves can build for 200 miles from Ontario until Whitefish Point. I mean, 200 miles. I mean, it was a huge storm that took the Fitzgerald.
Yeah, it was. But I just enjoyed watching some of the documentaries and specials that were floating around this past on the 50th anniversary, though. It was kind of brought back the old days.
There was one other story, and we're getting off track, but one of the deckhands who went down with Fitzgerald, he had just bought, like, a new 72 Cadillac Eldorado, parked it in the parking lot, boarded the ship, and then for, like, 5 years, this car just sat in the parking lot. No one knew who it belonged to, and finally they figured out, oh, my gosh, this kid had just bought it the day before he went on the Fitz, and then they realized it was his after 5 years and called the family and said, oh, by the way, you know, your son or father or whoever it was had purchased this car, and we have it and want to get it to you.
Wow. Yeah, that's interesting. Yeah, I just encourage, you know, anybody that, you know, didn't know about it, just to look that stuff up, because it was a pretty interesting story of the documentaries I saw about some of the people that were, you know, on that, the crew on that ship, and some of their relatives they interviewed was pretty neat.
Yeah. And the last thing McSorley said, who was the captain, back to the Anderson behind him, Anderson said, how are you doing? And McSorley came back and he says, well, we're holding our own.
Yeah, and that was a couple of minutes later, they weren't. So.
Yeah.
Sad, but that stuff happens to mariners. We know it well around here too. So it's we've had our grief on the seas also around this area.
Yeah, absolutely. So anyway, I just thought I'd call in. Joe had the UP perspective, and I had the Lower Peninsula experience on the Fitzgerald.
Okay. Right on.
Well,
thanks,
thank you, Sue.
Okay. Bye bye.
Bye bye. All right.
We better call it a day.
That reminds me. No,
that's enough. Here's your PSAs. We're done. You can those
Well, folks, thanks for turning into Tradio
and History
also
Month.
And also for History Month. So we're turning it into a history, philosophy, and home improvement
show. That's what happens when we get a couple calls. We gotta fill people in with some entertainment.
I know, it's true.
This is entertainment.
And if you missed us, despite your best efforts... You can still call into Tradio on Friday at 9 a.m. And again, we'll do more buy-sell trade things then. And Joe, thanks so much for coming in this morning.
Oh, no problem, Isaiah. I enjoy it.
Okay. All right. Bye.
I don't know if the people do, but...
We'll see.
The legend lives on from the Chippewa on down at the big lake they call Gitche Gumee. The lake, it is said, never gives up her dead when the skies of November turn gloomy. With a load of iron ore, 26,000 tons more than the Edmund Fitzgerald weighed empty. That good ship and true was a bone to be chewed when the gales of November came early. The ship was the pride of the American side, coming back from some mill in Wisconsin. As the big freighters go, it was bigger than most, with a crew and good captain well seasoned. Concluding some terms with a couple of steel firms when they left fully loaded for Cleveland. Then later that night when the ship's bell rang, could it be the north wind they'd been feeling? Tattletale sound and the wave broke over the railing. And every man knew, as the captain did too, 'twas the witch of November come stealing. The dawn came late and the breakfast had to wait when the gales of November came slashing. When afternoon came, it was freezing rain in the face of a hurricane west wind. When supper time came, the old cook came on deck saying, "Fellas, it's too rough to feed you." 7 p.m. a main hatchway gave in. He said, "Fellas, it's been good to know ya." The captain wired in, he had water coming in, and the good ship and crew was in peril. Later that night when his lights went out of sight, came the wreck of the Edmund Fitzgerald. Does anyone know where the love of God goes when the waves turn the minutes to hours? The searchers all say they'd have made Whitefish Bay if they'd put 15 more miles behind her. They might have split up or they might have capsized. They may have broke deep and took water. And all that remains is the faces and the names of the wives and the sons and the daughters. Lake Huron rolls, Superior sings in the rooms of her ice water mansion. Old Michigan steams like a young man's dreams. The islands and bays are for sportsmen. And farther below, Lake Ontario takes in what Lake Erie can send her. And the iron boats go, as the mariners all know, with the gales of November remembered. Musty old hall in Detroit, they prayed in the miracle. ragtime sailor's cathedral. The church bell chimed till it rang 29 times for each man on the Edmund Fitzgerald. And the legend lives on from the Chippewa on down of the big lake they call Gitche-Gumee. Superior, they said, never gives up or dead when the gales of November come early.